Blog Talk Radio.
Kentuckiana Grassroots Radio. This is your host, Matt Singleton. With me today, again, is Robert Bob DeVore. And we will be doing a second part on the economy. It looks like we're getting a whole lot of new information. We're going to kind of talk a little bit about that today, but we're going to have a whole episode devoted to the corruption that's going on and the rule as far as business and things like that is concerned. But basically, I remember an old movie, and got the name of the movie, but a character that called her Strike or Spice. She said that money is just like manure, it's only good to spread it around. And unfortunately, some people think spreading it around is giving it all to the government, and that doesn't quite work so well. So today we'll talk about the economic platform that Bob has for his mayoral election. And Bob, would just like to say, how are we doing today?
Oh, how you doing there, Matt? This is Bob. I'm down here in my man cave, drinking my coffee from old George Washington, and looking outside,
there
seeing these layers of snow, and hope to get into issues that we needed to follow. So go ahead.
Definitely. Let's go ahead and do that. I guess we'll just start back to basics. You know, because a lot of people, you know, everybody knows what a mayor is, but they don't really know all the responsibilities or what that means. What is the mayor's main responsibility, Bob?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Matt, because a lot of people don't know his main responsibilities. He is the executive officer, along with Metro Council. He's involved in the administrative duties, the city, the public property, the police, fire protection, most of the public agencies. He enforces the state, city, and federal laws. He's the one that has brought his executive powers underneath the state regulation. He's the executor of all things, and he's done under a popular vote of 4 years. Of course, you all know that. He submits the budget and approved by Metro Council. So he has a lot of different hats he has to wear as the mayor. He's almost similar to the governor, to be honest with you, on a lower scale.
Mm.
So that's where we're at on that,
okay,
on his responsibilities.
Oh, very interesting. All right, so now Bob, as mayor, what's your main concern pertaining to different departments in your administration?
Well, you know, I look out here and I remember once in a while I go over to the Ohio River and I see how dirty, deep, and muggy it is. And my thing is, I think his administration is the same way. I have a lot of concerns. He said, we need to have true transparency in our metro government. And I'm going, where is it? Another thing is, I don't think there's really very little accountability pertaining to the costs, the different departments. I think a lot of them are bloated, such as MSD. A person brought up another interesting point is, why do we have a world globalization as a department? We're the city of Louisville. We're not the whole world. So those different things I want to really uncover and find out what's going on.
So obviously your administration must be small and efficient. Can you give me an example of some areas of departments that you would streamline?
Well, all right, I'm glad you said that. Rivers Park, and I want to bring in the Metro Parks and bring them in as one unit. I believe we can save almost $250,000 on top of that because I think that those executives, we have like almost four so-called little mayors in our city, and that's one thing I want to focus on. The next one I'm going to do is the MSDS. I think we need to really look at it using a outside audit and using labor costs as a way to expose the fraud and abuse of money, which is taxpayer money. So that's where I want to start on as focusing on that.
Well, that's very interesting. Now, can you expand a little bit more on the issues of MSD and their need to be more efficient?
Well, Metro Council knows this. We have at least seven outdated pump stations. My belief is we need to look at those pump stations and ask, why aren't they fixed? And when the rain came, which was this past year, flooded up many of our brothers and sisters' homes, they had to pay, take out of their own back pocket to fix those problems. So we need to focus on why this is happening and why wasn't it fixed.
Okay. Now, moving over to the topic of infrastructure, are there any concerns you have, maybe some areas of infrastructure that you consider weak?
Well, starting out with our public transportation, the homes down the West End, the buildings down the West End, and the vacant lots, just one, many of the prime examples of my concerns.
Okay. Now, of course, everybody has the complaints, but what are some of the solutions? How would you fix those areas?
Well, we have a lot of good agencies here in the city of Louisville that are ready, willing to help. But a lot of times, we don't really focus on the same unit. For example, it would be nice to have those homes down the West End fixed up, and not given to the individuals, but let them earn those homes. And by earning those homes, give them pride. And to me, that makes a huge difference. One of the biggest things that I would like to see is those undeveloped, empty buildings down there in the city of Louisville. We could take grants and get those back into shape and focusing on bringing new businesses into our city. Now, again, I'll go back to public transportation. I work for UPS, and I see a lot of different tip agencies coming to UPS, and one of their biggest concerns is transportation. I even had a guy on the docks had help in getting home, getting to work, back home, and doing all the different things. So why can't we broaden out that transportation to meet the needs of our businesses? To me, down the end, I would love to see a 24/7 public transportation, and I think that's one thing we need to focus on, by getting the employee down to the employer to be able to work and have something they can have in their hands.
Hmm. You know, as a side note, I remember when I was in high school, one of the teachers was telling us that the old Louisville had the nation's largest collection of Victorian housing, and they'd had trouble that, you know, sometimes people would steal pieces of the housing and stuff like that. And, you know, you think about, like, if you restored a neighborhood like that, how much, you know, economic growth would be involved in that. But let me kind of move on here. Now, of course, you know, one big question is, especially because we spend so much money on it, how does education play into a strong and vibrant economy base?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Matt. It makes a huge, huge, big difference. And a good example is the bridge. If we really dig deeper into who built that bridge, you'll be surprised that maybe 5% of our citizens were involved in that. Just imagine if they had the high-skilled labor, not only in the city of Louisville, but surrounding areas, they would have pride in that bridge. They would have money in their pockets because the bridge is not a bad idea, but it's just the way it was set up. And to me, we need to get more local involvement. And just one example.
It's almost like some sort of bizarre rich version of Robin Hood. You know, you steal from the poor to give from the rich. Don't live there.
That's exactly right.
So now another question is, go ahead.
Well, you know,
okay.
I really hit when it comes to education. In the past 20 years, especially our local school system has really tried to push our kids to go to college. And a lot of kids don't want to go to college. I had a friend of mine who had a 4-year degree in English. He's working at Kroger's. I mean, it's good to have a solid, you know, degree, but how does it relate to your own jobs? Wouldn't it be nice to have trade schools back where a student would have a chance to go in daytime, high school students, learn skills, trades, like they do at the Job Corps, and then nighttime, bring in adults who want to relearn a new trade, a new skill, and give them the tools to be successful in finding a good job. You know, doesn't that make any sense, Matt?
Oh, yeah. I've lived that one out. You know, sometimes they'll give you an education that gives you an expertise, but it has nothing practically to do with how you're going to survive. Let me give a quick example. I remember back in my high school days, we went to Murray State on a field trip, and we checked out a chicken processing plant. And a lot of the people who were working at this factory had degrees, even, you know, a lot of scientific bachelor's, master's, and even doctorates, and they were making a living ripping out chicken guts, you know, because basically there was no professional need in that area for scientists. So, you know, there is a lot of that dilemma that goes on.
That's exactly right. Now, I'm glad you brought that up.
All right, so now as mayor, would you keep the past promises made by Mayor Greg Fisher and the Metro Council?
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that issue up. Just like the reason I'm chasing this idea because the more I thought about it, the deeper it gets. And the muddier the river is, it makes me really wonder what promises Greg Fisher has really made. And I think we need to analyze those promises, find out if they really are beneficial to the needs of our citizens. If they're not, we need to go ahead and say, hey, I'm sorry, but we can't do this. I think Walmart down Broadway is a prime example of how deep the problems go. I think there's a lot of different characters that we haven't really touched on, including past mayors that made promises they have not kept. And we need to finally clear up that water and be really transparent with our issues and concerns.
Oh, definitely. That is one big debacle. I've got family who lives out in the West End. And, you know, if you live out there, you know, then you start to notice the big difference when you're going through a neighborhood and there's no restaurants or, you know, very few people that, you know, are going to college and, you know, getting any type of degrees or getting anything, you know, moving ahead. The economy is just struggling very bad down there. And here was a chance. Walmart was going to, you know, were they going to take away somebody's business? No, they were going to. There's a big pile of dirt. I mean, there's a literal big pile of dirt where they were going to come in and set up shop and hire, you know, maybe multiple dozens of people, you know, maybe even 100 people. But basically, you know, give the economy a boost. And all giving the economy a boost does is it gives people more money to spend money in the other local businesses as well. And it is just a sad situation that they failed. And these are the people they count their votes on for, okay? This is their demographic. They are, you know, able to help their demographic, and they just didn't. Also, you know, coming to think of that, you know, we see a lot of, like, all the shenanigans going on with the Yum Center and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I saw a recent story where they were blaming the drama that goes on with U of L and all their recent stuff for Brown-Forman leaving some of their business from Yum Center. But Brown-Forman denies that and says that wasn't the case. What was some of your views on all that?
Oh, I agree with you. And there's supposed to be a pizza giant in Louisville that opened up his heart and invested his money in trying to find a beneficial property that would have really helped out the Young Center, but he was laughed at. And to me, we cannot do that as a society. We cannot do that as a city. We need to bring everybody to the table and say what is best for our city. And I don't think that's happening. I think the water, again, is muddy. I think if we dig deeper, we're going to find a lot of surprises that's in store for us and our fellow citizens. And we need to dig. We need to find out the truth. And where is that compassion that Greg Fisher always says he has? To me, I think it's just a big, giant cover-up.
Yeah. And we'll also definitely have to be dealing with some of those on the financial level, some of those on the law enforcement level. I mean, one thing I've kind of noticed is that, you know, it's great that the mayor will visit people at a funeral. It's just that I wish he'd be working harder in his office so that so many funerals wouldn't happen. But basically, can you give me an example in your past experience that would relate to the mayor's responsibility?
Well, when it comes to he's supposed to be able to budget the money. And as I served on the McCrory County School Board, we had approximately $25 million annually in our opportunity to serve our citizens and try to raise the education system for our students. We had to make some tough dealings one year when we got less money. We always try to stay in the black. So we got together, brainstormed, and said, well, Eagle Elementary and Whitley City Elementary are outdated. It's time for them to be shut down. We brought in the community, explained what's going on. Of course, some of the community parents were upset because that's their neighborhood, you know, school. And we told them this is what needs to be done. We got to bring these kids into the 21st century. So we went ahead and shut down both schools. Now, the Eagle Elementary, we did change that to a community center for that area, which is good because it wasn't a total waste. We try to bring in more assets and resources in that community. So instead of just making an abandoned building, we've made it more of a like a diamond in the rough for those community parents to be able to and do things in that community. Now, on the other side, we went ahead and built a Whitley City Elementary School, which is 24th century design. And we did things to benefit those kids. And we used the money smartly because we want those kids to excel. And to me, that's smart. Now, when I went to Pine Knot Job Corps, food service manager, it was my responsibility to make sure those kids got fed. I had a $250,000 budget, and we did the meals, and we got kids involved. We did special projects with them, but they were all focused on the center itself, Job Corps Center, and we did things for them. And I was responsible and accountable for that money. So if I did something wrong, I was called on the carpet. To me, in Mayor Greg Fisher, a lot of that money that's involved in his process and his budget is not being called on the carpet. And this is where we need to start saying, hey, you're the one that said you're compassionate. You're the one that said you're a businessman. You're wearing a businessman suit, but underneath you, you're really a leftist who really wants to control the city, not giving the city an empowerment to say, hey, this is my city. I want to do what's best for us. So in the past 7 years, you know, it's nice to have all these hotels and motels, high rises and all this kind of stuff, but they're leaving out the West End, and it's vacant lots, vacant buildings, vacant homes, and nothing's happening, you know? So we need to use our money wisely and smartly and put citizens first.
So now, obviously, the mayor is an interesting job in the sense that it has a lot of focused power in that one position, a lot of power over the city, and yet also you still have to work with others.
I have two questions.
One is, do you feel like you'll have the support of Matt Bevin? Do you think you'll be able to get along well with him and also basically getting help dealing with social issues? And let me just throw in another one as a second question to that, and that is that Mayor Greg Fisher, he's really kind of endorsed this concept of a sanctuary city. And I know that the concept of sanctuary city, I've got concerns about that, and that'll be a later episode. But basically, you know, we have a president who is really opposed to that, and his attorney general is starting to get after various cities, and that could cost us a lot of federal funding if he proceeds to keep this idea of, like, we're going to have the sanctuary city no matter what. So that could cost us a lot of economic money. So the first question is dealing with Bevin, but also dealing with the national attitude right now. Do you feel like you'd be able to get along with these individuals and keep our funding?
Now, with Bevin's, I think he has a big heart for the Commonwealth, and especially the cities in the Commonwealth. I believe that he wants to see those cities survive, to be more productive, to be a more healthy city, and he's willing to do whatever it takes. But he's hamstringed by his own debt, which right now the Commonwealth is broke. For past deeds happened in the Democratic Party and the Democratic leadership. And I believe that he would love to have the grants. And, for example, back to public transportation, I would like to see a trans rail system within the city. And I hope to have that happen in the next 12 years. And then the next 20 years after that is have this trans rail system out around Jefferson County, which hits all those little towns, those little cities, would be an awesome thing, and bringing those citizens in together and using the system as a way to transport them back and forth to work, back and forth to their own stadiums, and so on and so forth. So Matt Bevin's would be happy to get on board once we get our Commonwealth back on track. But it takes money to really do that, and it takes a lot of cooperation from different identities to focus on that. Now, the sanctuary city, I'm glad you brought that point up. I just found out about 3 weeks ago, we have 10 high schools, will lose grants from their JROTCs. JROTCs are federally funded. And to me, those programs are needed desperately in our high schools because that gives students a avenue to focus on their character, their discipline, and things that will help them be successful when it comes to communicating with their families, dealing with their own constituents, and focusing on relational needs. Not only that, it might give them a way to go into the military, which is to be their choice. So we're going to lose millions of dollars if Greg Fisher, or when he, if he gets elected, I think he's going to push the sanctuary city to the top of his priority list. And to me, that's wrong. The other part is I think it's going to take away a lot of jobs, which is very sparingly now, the West End, from our citizens and trying to give it to illegals who are trying to make this a sanctuary city. To me, if you really want to be a citizen, then go ahead and take the citizenship and take that path, just like a friend of mine did at UPS. She said, well, I can't do this. I said, what you can. Within a year, she became a citizen. So, to me, that's
and,
an easy way
know,
to do it.
There is an easy straw man out there to kind of make it look like, you know, well, this is bigoted or racist or just, you know, kind of just volatile to people who are just trying to make it and stuff like that. But, you know, there are so many good legal ways to go about things. And, you know, I've met some people who do it the right way. You know, some people like an older woman I work with, she goes, you know, to and from Mexico, and she makes that trip, you know, regularly and gets her green card renewed and works, you know, fairly and does what she needs to do. And others who do permanent residency and stuff like that. So there's a lot of ways to do it by the book and by the system and everything like that. And, you know, when you encourage the sanctuary city status, what you do is you just, you know, really encourage all the bad things. You know, you're not helping the normal worker. You're giving the normal worker the bad reputation. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, all the issues of, like, drug trade and smuggling and human trafficking and all these other things are really rearing their ugly heads in town. So let's go ahead and talk about salary and other benefits. What would you consider? This is like, you know, what salary and other benefits would you consider?
Matt, before we do that, let me touch on a little bit more about the education, and I'll be happy to answer the other questions.
Okay. Sure.
Remember when I talked about trade schools, right? And a lot of folks don't realize this, but when you get a trade as a plumber, and I had one about a month ago, they do a good job, but they get paid well. Bricklayers, there's not that many bricklayers out here in the city of Louisville, but there are a lot of homes are being built. They make 20 to 40 bucks an hour. You got electricians who make a lot of money. You have all these different high-skilled laborers, but they're trying to find them. So why can't we give these kids the opportunity to learn a trade? And even the adults at 40, 50 years old, hey, I want to break bricklayer. So he goes to the trade school at night. He learns the skill. He goes to a business, small business owner and saying, hey, I want to work for you. And to me, that's a way to broaden our job skills by bringing the trade schools back and giving choices to our citizens from high school all the way up to the adulthood. And to me, that's the best thing we can do instead of just trying to push them, you know, through that path of college. And I'm going to stop on that. Now, I believe myself to be a true conservative. So if I'm going to set the example. My salary is going to be $14,400 a year. I'm going to be asking for 4 weeks vacation, two of them non-paid, and part of that money that I'm going to get for $14,000, I'm going to invest in my own retirement. To me, I need to set the example for everybody else. I already have my money set for retirement. I'm living off that as we speak. And to me, we're focusing on the wrong things, setting the wrong examples, and if when I say, hey, look, I want $14,400 a year versus whatever he makes, $100,000 a year, shows him that I really care and not putting myself last, but putting the citizens first. Now, after the first year, I'm going to be reevaluated on the progress I made for that first year. And I'm only going to ask for 10% off my salary. Now, we're setting the example in the right place. It's not about money. It's about me serving the citizens of Louisville. And I'm going to put that first. And that's where I want to do it.
Okay. I got two more questions. Now, while it's not the purpose, you know, as conservatives, we understand it's not the purpose of the government to create the economy. We have a free society. We do the work. We do the work we want to do. We create the economy. But we also know that the government basically takes from the economy, and so there's a lot of ways that the government can lay up, the way the government can, you know, be beneficial to what we're dealing with when it comes to the economy. And so what are some goals that you would have to attract businesses, and are there some that you have in mind?
Well, you know, in this past year, we had Apple announce that they want to put in billions of dollars into our economy. They want to come from another country back to the United States. And to me, along with Metro Council, we need to set our precedents on making our infrastructure strong, making sure our water sewerage system is strong, making sure our transportation is strong, making sure our workforce is strong. And all of a sudden you have Apple going, hey, they met those goals that I wanted to do. And the goals were, when it comes to their expectations, is the education level. They look at that and say, all right, that's great. They got a high education level, the skill level. And they got a trade school here. They're focusing on, they just graduated 2,000 of their citizens, and they're going out and getting jobs. And then our infrastructure, when it comes to, again, water, sewage, and public transportation, and our taxpayers' tax base is lower than any other state or surrounding us. So if our tax base is lower, then you can bring in Apple, bring in Amazon. You can bring any other companies going, I think I'd rather go to Louisville because it's going to be an advantage not only for ourselves, but the citizens too. So we need to be more a business-friendly administration. We need to be more apt to help out our small businesses here in Louisville and trying to lower the sewage costs, lower the electrical costs. Those things can help them not only keep their jobs, but thrive. And that means it's going to broaden their operation, and then citizens of Louisville will have jobs because now they're highly skilled. And now when they're skilled, they have more confidence in what they do, which breeds more confidence in our city, and it helps us in the long run.
All right. Last question. Now, I'm aware that in your platform you support the advocacy of medical marijuana as well as the industrial hemp. And I was wondering, in what ways do you think that this platform can be used to boost the economy?
Well, I went to a couple of the Metro Council meetings on cannabis. And one of the things that I need to do more often is listen, take in information. And there was one gentleman that stood up and said they were prepared to put in at least $4 million of their own money down the West End, which is really an awesome thing, because when that happens, if we have our building set up, prepped, ready to go, they can move their operation down the West End, develop medical cannabis, and be able to do this in the right manner, and then focus on giving jobs to our citizens and give them the that confidence factor that when they get up in the morning, they can go to their job. And we have to be, like I said, more business-friendly. If we're not business-friendly, then we're in trouble. To me, we need to find different ways to fight off the opioid addiction. Why are we letting our citizens and the pharmaceutical companies take over that area, the pain medicine? Because it's happening now. So we can use medical marijuana to help our citizens control their pain. And to me, that's a big asset to our society in helping our citizens.
All right. Well, that concludes today. Obviously, we had a lot more issues to kind of go over and a lot of juicy details. Bobby has some really great ideas. And the great thing about an election is that you can affect a lot of the change just by getting the guy with the best ideas in power. So I encourage voters to check out Bob DeVore's campaign. Robert DeVore, what are some places they can go to look you up?
Well, there's one. It's Bob DeVore. Vote for BobDeVore.org, and then you can go to my, which is Mayor Bob DeVore. So I'm a working class guy who's trying to do what's best in that seat. That's all I am. I'm just a working class guy.
Well, I'll tell you what. And that's the thing, though. It doesn't take a rich person. It just takes a person with the confidence of the people. So we appreciate you, Bob, and we'll see you on another episode of Kentucky Inn at Grassroots Radio.